You know Josh Widdicombe? I wonder what he buys on Amazon.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. Tom Fox talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling the stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Wood Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Wood Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate, Wood Toaster. Oh, toaster.
Hello, welcome back. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster, the show where I dive into people's Amazon purchase histories in order to tell their life stories. My guest today is the comedian, broadcaster, podcaster, parent, excellent glasses wearer, Josh Widdicombe. Hello, Josh Widdicombe.
I've just realised, genuinely, as you said that, because we're filming this in town, I meant to bring in, I bought a phone case. I needed to take it back to John Lewis.
Oh, this happened last time we spoke. You were trying to get to the Apple store. You said, where's your studio? Is it near the Apple store? Because you're trying to double up.
I live in zone two. I don't know what my problem is. If I go into town, unlike you, you know, you're part of the rat race, mate.
Yeah.
You're going in every day.
Yeah, I'm a commuter person.
Yeah, you're a commuter person. Whereas when I go in town, I'm like, I've got to do everything. But this is a great example of online purchasing problems. I bought it online from John Lewis. It was the wrong sized.
What was it?
It was a case for my new phone.
Oh, I see. Oh,
and I got it for the big one.
Why did you get a phone case? Is prime Amazon, to misquote their brand. But that's what Amazon was born to give you, plastic.
Yes, but and you'll find this throughout, I try to not use Amazon when I can avoid it.
Excellent, yes.
So
For moral reasons.
For moral reasons.
Yeah.
And so all of my books I buy a lot of books.
Yeah.
I buy through Hive.co.uk.
The heating control.
Yes, the heating control. So their range is very poor. through Hive.co.uk, which is, I googled the words ethical online book.
Oh, and that's what they came up with. So they use local bookshops, right, to get your books?
You can they do that, and then you can choose a local bookshop that some of your money goes to. So I do that, but I do buy books through Amazon because sometimes you can't get them, so then I just go, oh, fuck it.
Right.
So, I'll have this at 10 PM tonight then.
So if I must have it cheaper and massively more conveniently, I guess I will. I mean, that's admirable, by the way. And this show is in no way affiliated with Amazon.
No, in fact. I don't think you need to worry, because I don't think it's like they were struggling, but then Tom Price started a podcast and turned things around.
Imagine if this took them down. But I would say that a theme we've seen in the last, when you go through people's purchase histories, people using it less and less and making a real conscious effort to use it less.
Well, I use it for things where it's like, fuck me, I'll have to put my address in if I go through that.
Yeah.
You know.
My this website doesn't know my credit card, and my credit card's upstairs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to use Amazon.
Let's not pretend that I'm anything other than lazy as fuck.
But I do like the idea of you going to pick up your books from the local bookstore. A little bit like those celebrities, you know, in the Comic Relief days, just sort of arriving like some sort of saviour. Do you know what I mean? Just choppering in.
White saviour complex.
A bit of a white saviour complex, but with buying yourself, you know, the latest Ian McEwan. That Josh Widdicombe off telly. Yeah. That guy's so good. It's lovely. So look, Josh, we're going to tell your life story via your Amazon purchase history, right. Okay? 2007 is when you made your first order.
Is it?
2007.
You're so good at this website.
Mate, I've got so much practice, but also I'm so thrilled because the first thing you bought is just so beautiful.
What is it?
Jonathan Creek, Series 1 to 4.
Oh. Yes, please.
We've hit the ground running.
I'd say one of the great TV shows.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And that's the original one as well, obviously Series 1 to 4, because it's had quite a lot of, in a sort of Red Dwarf style, you know, the kind of reboots and the reunions.
Yeah, but they've never...
Could you imagine that with Last Leg? Imagine when the Last Leg finally falls apart.
I think, that's happened, but when it finally stops...
Oh, I see, right. I thought we got a real massive exclusive then. But imagine if it ever stops.
As they say in the 138th episode of The Simpsons, you know, they've got the 138th episode spectacular, and Troy McClure says, who knows what adventures they'll have between now and when they become unprofitable?
Exactly.
And I feel like that's the same for every TV show, really.
Every reunion, band or TV, there is an unwillingness born out of financial necessity.
I do think when the last leg ends, I'll be able to go. At least in 10 years, there'll be a slight payday for the one-off returning series that's a disaster.
Exactly. You'll know that's in the bank, ready to go.
Yeah, that's in the bank, ready to go.
It's nice to have that. It's nice to have that. Okay, so imagine someone listening or watching has never watched a Jonathan Creek.
You're the luckiest person on earth.
Because you've got it all to come.
You've got it all to come. So he's a magician. His job is, it's comedy drama.
Love that.
But it's incredibly well-plotted mysteries. Kind of locked room mysteries, like Sherlock Holmes style locked room mysteries.
Like Death in Paradise, yep.
I think that would be an unfair comparison.
They do, well, I'm not comparing any merit. I'm just comparing the structure of Death in Paradise.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is it's always a locked room in the Caribbean.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose in the same way that the Beatles are the same as Busted.
musical instruments.
Yeah.
And songs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of locked room mysteries, a lot of codes, a lot of unsolvable crime to the law, having to bring in this guy who's a magician's assistant, and he solves the crimes. And also on top of that, he's psychic. Caroline Quentin plays a kind of really great, kind of feisty crime writer. And they've got an on-off kind of will they, won't they.
Love that. X-Files-esque.
It's just brilliant.
You do have to wonder
drama. What
Loeb the police were in this admittedly fictional tale where, you know, they're going for the magician's assistant. So a real life version would be Debbie McGee helping with.
Yes. Well, she is in the magic circle.
Well,
no, he's not. No, it's not. He's not a magician's assistant. He designs the tricks for the magician.
Oh, I see.
So he's socially awkward. He's kind of wears a duffel coat. He lives in a windmill. So he doesn't want to be in the spotlight. Okay. So he's the genius behind the magician.
Do you think people relate to that as well? The man hiding away? I think
that's incredibly...
We love that. Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant show. I actually think it's been a bit lost in time.
Mm.
And it's incredible.
Some shows can age badly in terms of their reputation. I'm obsessed with the Low, Low. People go about a Low, Low like, and watch it, forgive it certain things, it's still a genius show, right?
Of all the sitcoms, I don't know any sitcom with a larger core cast.
I know!
There's about 20 characters.
Okay, we're now on an a Low, Low tangent. We will be back at My Mate Toaster soon. It's so good at the budget. Imagine a day filming a Low, Low and they're like, well, who's in today? Everyone. 30.
Yeah, it's like EastEnders.
How many are eating today? 30. Plus extras. The M and B and C and D. Get it for myself, for my health, for the cheap. Gotta stay in shape, but I'm so lazy. Crime online, next day delivery. I love Jonathan Creek because I never solve the mysteries. Do you solve the mysteries?
No, I don't think you can. You know, it will be a woman gets blown up.
Wonderful. Heartwarming. Really cozy. Really cozy.
And then there's an old woman who's in recuperation for an operation and she's living with her friend who's a younger bloke who's looking after her, right?
Okay, yeah.
And she's sitting in her garden in the evening having evening tea and the woman who has just been blown up in the morning walks past her. But this old woman didn't know about the blowing up and so she's seen this woman after death.
Love that. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they're like, oh... Did the woman get blown up and because it's a different body or something like that? You know, all these kind of
things. Do we trust the old woman's words?
Yeah. Do we trust the old woman's words? Mm-hmm. And then the woman said, she had like wet around the bottom of her trousers when she was walking. Anyway, it turns out the guy that's looking after the older woman, he works in TV lighting.
Okay.
And he's blacked out the window of her bedroom and he's slowly changed the time of day.
Wow.
Until she's living on the wrong 12 hours. She thinks it's 8 in the morning, but it's 8 in the evening.
And he's weaponized daylight.
Yeah, exactly.
Genius.
So that's how he works that out. So it's really detailed mysteries. I've really gabbled that, but it's fucking brilliant.
It reminded me, listening to you describe the plot, reminded me of a thing that we don't have anymore, which I miss, which is...
The pub bore.
Sitting... Sitting with people you don't really have to listen to. No, it reminded me of a thing, which is sitting in school. Yeah. Right, it's a school-specific thing. And in tremendous detail, going through the plot of a TV show that you watched the night before.
Yeah.
I feel like because of modern, the way we consume TV shows and films, we don't do that. But it reminded me of going through an X-Files episode about a gorilla who could talk. And only in the act of describing it did I realise how absolutely batshit it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
And it's that, it's not quite water cooler, but it's the school the next day. Right, no. And then Scully, right? She comes back. But do you know what I mean?
But do you know what? That's an incredible skill of a writer to be able to take you on that journey and you buy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I signed up to Amazon to buy the DVD box set of Jonathan Creek.
And that's the only thing you ever bought on Amazon. So thanks for coming on the show. this has been great, Josh. When you meet Alan Davis now, and I assume you've done QI and all those sorts of things, is part of you like, it's Jonathan Creek?
So the show I do on Sky with Rob Beckett Smart TV, we had Alan Davis on.
Yeah.
And we had Joe Thomas on as well.
Oh, yeah.
And it transpired that Joe Thomas is a bigger Jonathan Creek fan than I am.
Wow, okay. Did he dive into plots like you? And
yeah, and so we had a mastermind. Alan Davis set the questions.
Oh, my God.
For us on Jonathan Creek. And he brought the actual duffel coat in and we got to wear it.
You wore Jonathan Creek's duffel coat?
I've got a photo of me in Jonathan Creek's duffel coat.
That's like wearing Doctor Who's long coat or bow tie or whatever. That's iconic.
Yeah, so I loved that. So, he's fully aware of how much I loved it.
In 2007, by the way, just for a bit of life story, because that is ostensibly what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Where were you comedy-wise? Had you landed in London? Were things up and running?
I was moving into London. I lived in London in 2007, but my first gig was January 2008. Is there a date on that?
Yeah, that was 2007. It was the 17th of December.
Oh, it was probably a Christmas present.
It's a great gift.
It was
30
it
quid.
Yeah.
That's got to be A-list family, 30 quid.
Or was it one of those, I'll have that for myself.
I mean...
So December 2007 was 3 weeks before my first gig.
Yeah.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah. There you are.
And it was actually 2 weeks after my first gig that I should have done, which was I was booked in for a gig on a Friday night above the Camden Head.
Yeah.
My set was a string of awful jokes. But of course it is.
Of course.
I turned up, gave my name in. Went and sat in the crowd, 10 to 15 people.
Other comics.
Yeah, other comics. Sat there the whole night. The compere did really badly.
Yeah.
And he got really angry with the audience to the point where he started hitting the mic on his forehead.
Oh, wow.
Like, bang, bang. Not part of the act, just...
Oh, God.
And then what... He couldn't see, but everyone else could see. There was blood dripping down his head like,
oh my God.
Andrew WK. And and then he was like...
Horrific.
Yeah, and then he was like, anyway, your final act of the night. And I'm like, fucking hell. Here we go. And then he was like, announced a different act on. And they'd forgotten to put me on.
Oh my life.
And I was like, went to the back and I was like, you've forgotten...
So you had to go and... have a conversation with a man who has blood dripping down his face.
You've forgotten to put me on. And he was like, oh, sorry, mate. You weren't sat at the back with the other acts. And I was like, well, I didn't know. I'm new. I wasn't. And he was like, well, do you want to go on? I was like, no.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
So your first ever gig in London, you didn't do.
Everyone had died. He'd drawn blood. I was like, do you know what? Tonight's not the night.
It just feels like a quite Widdicombe-esque thing to do.
Comedians, beware. This is the podcast that could scare you and all of your funny friends from buying things on Amazon. But don't delete your histories. You'll bring Tom Price down to his knees. Please just confess your shopping sins. On My Mate Bought a Toaster, we hear where your money's been.
Let's move into 2008, okay? And we can see stand-up everywhere here, right? We've got Logan Murray Teach Yourself Stand-Up Comedy.
So that, fucking hell, that's a bit on the nose, isn't it? If you're
really
trying to
is.
Tell your life story through Amazon. So I did the Amuse Moose stand-up course.
Yep.
Which is run by Logan Murray.
Yeah, wonderful man.
All he had to do to get on it, it wasn't like a... It was pay 375 quid.
Yeah.
I still remember that fee. which was a lot of money. But genuinely thought, if I do this, I'll have to do it.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, I also presumed they'd tell me how to be a stand-up comedian so I could just be a stand-up comedian. I'd make my money back quite quickly. Which obviously isn't the case.
No.
And then you turn up and it's a lot of improv games. It's a lot of getting comfortable on stage. And of course, that in hindsight, is exactly the right thing to do, and it's all you can do for people. You can't go, this is how you do, write a joke. No. This is how you hold a microphone. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So it was the right thing to do, but obviously at the time you're like, oh, God, I thought I was going to learn how to be Stuart Lee, and in 12 weeks I'd be Stuart Lee.
Well, you have bought the Stuart Lee DVD at the same time.
Have I?
So you were obviously researching that, Stuart Lee stand-up comedian,
well, like,
and Harry Hill Live, very similar comedians.
I was basically doing an impression of Stuart Lee for the first 18 months I was a stand-up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember me?
No, I don't remember seeing you gig. And I remember you appearing when you'd signed with Curb.
No, no. So I gigged with you before that. It was when you were doing Torchwood.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Where was it?
Generic student union.
Oh, yeah, those guys. I remember. I remember the ones.
But you know what I mean? Like, a student union on a Thursday night. Mm. I think you were comparing.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's and how I mostly got
I would have been in the middle.
Okay. Could you ever have foreseen then, and this sounds like a wanky question, but like, you've done
you
pretty well.
You going through my Amazon.
Yeah, could you have us being on a sofa? No, could you ever have foreseen at that stage
the
stuff that's happened?
No.
Did you, at what point did you go, game on, lads, this actually could be my career?
Oh, I think you do that after, I did that after the first gig.
Okay.
Because I had a good, not good in the way that you or I would now judge a good gig.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in an arrogant
way. No, no, I know what you mean.
But
a
good gig in the sense that some people laughed at some things.
yeah.
And I couldn't believe it happened. And
It's very hard to disguise the shock.
Ellis James, who's a good friend of mine who's a comedian, says after his first gig, he just presumed, well, I'm going to be a comedian. Oh, right. There's only about 25, 30 comedians, isn't there? There's like Badil, Skinner, Harry Hill.
Oh my God, you have no idea.
And you've got no idea.
And you get your first Edinburgh and you're like...
And then there's like the six people that were on the gig I just did. And then there's presumably, what, 10 people in between?
Mm. Is that youth? Is that naivety? What is that?
I think that's reality, that you don't realise how big an industry is until you're part of it.
And had you known at that stage, you would have gone off.
And then you're just fucking trawling around fucking years. Mm. But if I hadn't had that first gig... So from that first gig, you're like, well, I want to do this because my life at the moment is pretty rudderless. But from the age of 18... I knew I wanted to be a writer of some sort, but I don't want to do what I'm doing. I was a sub-editor on the Guardian Sport website, and I was obsessed with comedy.
Right.
And I kind of got into stand-up because I heard that that opened doors in comedy writing.
But you weren't naturally a performer then?
No, I wasn't at all. I used to go red if I did seminars where you'd have to share something.
Yeah.
And my voice would go wobbly.
Oh my God, you were the red guy.
I was the red guy.
You were the red guy at Winchester Drama School. So that's because you don't come across, you are not a walking in the room, loud, chatty, extrovert type person. Obviously, you are very happy in these situations, but you're not a...
I wouldn't go that far.
But, I mean, specifically this situation, obviously awful. But, so that moment where you had to start performing... How did you improve that? Just by doing it again and again?
Yeah, I think it was necessity rather than want.
That shows a real hunger, though, if you're like, go
yeah, do it. I'm quite single-minded and driven.
Yeah, okay.
Not quite. I am really single-minded and driven when I want to do something.
Interesting. So we've got the laid-back Whittaker vibes, but actually...
If I go for something,
yeah,
I kind of go for it, I suppose.
Like you wanted oat milk in that tea before we started.
I killed that barista to get it.
And it happened.
And it happened.
And you wiped the blood off, and now here we are.
Exactly.
That's good. Okay, good. We're learning about Whittaker.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
All right, look, let's power on through, Josh. Okay, let's see what else we've got waiting for us as we go into 2009 now. 16th of December 2009, a medical carry case.
Is that a real medical carry case?
Let's find out, shall we? Let's click through and see what's going on here. It's very much toys. It's for kids. Is this for family?
That's family gift, isn't it?
And what are the family making, by the way, of Josh, who's gone up London and now he's a comedian at this stage? Are they kind of... have you got a shrug family or have you got a... Okay, but do fall back on...
No, I haven't got do fall back on.
Oh, okay.
I've got do what you want.
I like a shrugger.
Yeah,
my family are quite shruggy.
Yeah. And I'd say that's kind of the best gift you could give your children is to let them do what they want.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the best way to just Just go for it, yeah.
Because, yeah.
So you haven't had any sort of like, oh, okay, but...
No, I think, no.
Would you do the same with your kids when they...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, just get out of the house.
Awful if they went into comedy, though, wouldn't it?
I would be... My kids have shown every now and again a little interest in it, and I'm just like, don't you dare. I have shown you nothing but attention and love since you were born, precisely so you don't become comedians. 2011 now, Josh. I feel like life is broadening out a bit here.
I became a professional comedian in 2010.
Okay. Then that would explain why there's a few, you know, this guy's a writer. He's got the round buff willow waste paper basket. You just got your little I'm feeling like there's a Whittaker montage here. November 2011.
So I was living then, I was living in Turnpike Lane on a very rough kind of street, but it was a very nice house.
Yeah.
We'd done the opposite of location.
But it's the thing where you go, this is fantastic, there must be some drawback.
Yeah.
And then 9 p.m. comes.
Yeah. So Tom Crane, who you know, who I was living with, he had a gun drawn on him at one point by someone in a car. This sounds like, this is bleak. The roads had dog shit on them, but not just that. The dog shit looked ill. Like, you could see the dogs were unwell.
Wow. That's a whole new level of sadness. Even the dogs were miserable.
But it was a lovely flat. We had a wet room. Like, it was like, once you got inside, you were like, this is fucking brilliant. We had this huge living room.
Yeah.
So it had been a family home that they'd done up really nicely inside.
But they had a point where they went, we cannot
bring
our kids.
But they'd moved to Crouch End. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Because the dogs get ill in Crouch End because maybe they've got a gluten thing going
on. Exactly, yeah, yeah.
But in Turnpike Lane, it's just because they're eating beans.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So you got a waste paper basket in the corner. I imagine you know, I just can't make this joke work, scrunching it up in the, do you know what I mean? There's a Whittaker montage evolving in my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of jokes I couldn't make work then. I took myself quite seriously, I think.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because one thing I really like about you, like socially, is I feel like I can absolutely take the piss out of you. You don't seem to take
yourself
seriously.
Yeah, no, I didn't take myself seriously in that sense, but I was like, I work really hard on this. And
okay.
This is what I'm doing, and you've got to go for it, and all that kind of stuff that eventually kind of drives you into exhaustion.
Pressure. But,
To an incredible amount of self-created pressure.
But you were doing great at this point. When did you get signed by Off the Curb?
2010, that's when I became a professional comedian.
That was the moment, I see.
June, Edinburgh 2010 was when I quit my job at The Guardian. And then I did the Comedy Zone, which is like 20 minutes in Edinburgh each week. And then the really good things that happened for my career were I supported Alan Carr on his warm-up tour in spring 2011.
Okay.
And Stephen Merchant on his main tour in autumn 2011.
Yeah.
And doing that support totally just made me 10 times the comedian.
Big rooms.
There's a book called How Music Works by David Byrne from Talking Heads.
I love David Byrne.
And he talks about how different music is created in different rooms. And so you could trace choral music reflects the rooms it was created in, or punk is for those small that is the music that sounds best in that room. You can't play intricate music because the acoustics aren't good enough, so you have to play fast and you have to play loud, etc.
Is this your way of saying you wrote your comedy in a wet room?
Yeah. No, but you, if you play a certain type of gig, you end up writing material and performing like that is the right place for it. And so if you play in comedy clubs or you at the weekends, all your stuff's short, it's sharp, it's a bit bass, so there's no room for subtlety, there's no chance to do longer routines.
Yes.
Then when you go and support Alan Carr and Stephen Merchant in theatres, your bits get longer, they get more kind of, you can do softer observations because people are listening.
But you've got to relax into that because it's scary, because you're getting rid of the support of having the bulletproof gags.
Yeah.
And you're doing better stuff.
You're doing better stuff that will work better on TV because on TV, the edge of the room is lost, so the material comes through more. So that's the stuff that made me a much better comedian, or a comedian that was more able to do television and stuff.
I supported Stephen Merchant on tour. I just got very tired. Just a lot of travel. We did the Scandi bit.
I remember
the highlight
that.
Was watching Stephen Merchant have to fold himself onto a plane every day. I mean, he's the size of a Learjet anyway.
Yeah.
We like to listen to Toast, and we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La, la, la,
let's have a look what else we've got. Josh, and we've got 45 litre plastic storage box. Pack of five. Hundreds
moving
of
house?
Litres. Well, yeah, so November 2012, are you leaving Turnpike Lane at this stage?
Yeah.
I see nesting. Look, there's a lot of bins.
Look,
and you've bought a wood folding clothes era. It's the dawn of a new era.
It is the dawn of a new era. Moved in with my girlfriend.
Oh.
Stroke, now wife.
Oh. Look, this is lovely. So we go. So these are the signs of someone moving in with someone, right?
Yeah.
This is what I love, domesticity on the show. It's one of my favourite things when you get to another waste paper basket. Another one. What happened to the last one?
Maybe I left it in Turnpike Lane because I moved out and they remained there. So you don't want to take your bin with you, do you?
It's quite a depressing moment to pack a bin.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't forget
exactly.
The bin.
Difficult to pack as well.
Black 50 litre swing bin. Premier Housewares coat stand. You've got a Henry Hoover.
I remember that.
You've got
that
a folding clothes era. You have got, and this for me is the peak of domesticity and nesting, the white toilet brush holder and bowl. You've bought a bog brush there.
Yeah, of course. Well, you've got it, haven't you?
We don't have one.
Why not?
Because they make my wife feel sick. Because
they are vile.
They're toothbrushes with shit on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they sit in the toilet. And if you are using the toilet, you look down, I can see bits of poo there.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty strict policy. If you, you know, if you skid it up, you've got to get in there and get it sorted out.
What, head first?
Well, I mean, you could use this. That's why I tend to use this. Dive in. Apologising. My wife flushed my head down the toilet. No, you get a scrunch of bog roll. Yeah, you get in there and you get it done. Get it done when it's fresh and it's fine.
I think that's fine. But what about visitors?
My brother got banned from using two toilets in our house, both toilets
in
our house. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you have to watch out for that. But that makes it even worse then if you've got a bog brush in your house and visitors use it, because then you're like...
Oh, yeah, it's not even your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's Beth's cousin's shit over there.
How much should I spend on the bog brush?
£7.72. Was this an exciting time then? Was this a moment where you were like...
Well, that moment doesn't sound particularly exciting.
Well, no, I mean, the stuff isn't exciting, but the moment in your life. Look at this. Hang on. Intex queen-size airbed with raised pillow and built-in pump?
Yeah, because I think that was a period before we got the bed delivered.
Oh, okay. So this is, it's exactly that thing when you order the bed or the sofa, and you're like, yes, we've got it. And then they get you to pay, and then they say, that's it, you've got... It'll be with you in October.
Because they haven't made it.
Because it doesn't exist.
But you sell sofas.
Yeah.
You've got to have sofas. You've got to back yourself that people will buy your products.
Yeah.
If you start a company called sofa.com, you have to have a warehouse full of sofas.
Yeah.
Because you might as well go, people want different colour cars, so we're not going to make any cars.
Mm.
Until someone's asked for a car.
It's a bit like ordering a taxi and someone says, great, I'm going to go and buy a car.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then I'll pick you up when I bought the car.
Because I didn't realise that you might use Uber to order a taxi.
It is annoying, especially when you then have to tolerate your existing sofa or your existing bed for another however many weeks. That's six more weeks of hating that sofa.
But it's not even the existing sofa, it's when you've not got a sofa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're sat on a kitchen chair watching TV for... the length of the summer holidays.
Do you know what? I've got one word for you. The greatest invention ever. Bean bags. Get a bean bag.
Do you think? I find that quite hard.
No. I love a bean bag.
Do you?
They fit around you. They're the memory foam of the 90s.
So have you got them in your house?
No, of course not. We've got sofas because they arrived. Yeah. Bean bags are a stopgap.
Right.
They're a bridging loan
you
for your ass.
How do you dispose of a bean bag? One bean at a time.
Yeah, like The Great Escape.
Yeah.
You just go out and shake it down your trouser leg. No, you find a house share of students nearby.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
They'll take anything.
Do you leave stuff on the street? This is quite a good thing off Amazon.
This is weird. There's someone near us who's... Is it possible to be a reverse hoarder? Who is literally... She put stuff out on her street and we walk past it every day on the way to school and it's like her old shoes. She put a used COVID test out the other day. So
I think
she's not entirely...
With the Woolwich.
There you are. And she writes a little note, please take.
So we're in an area of where there's a feeling that people can do that.
Yes.
So we'll do it. And it's fucking brilliant. You feel incredible.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the joy you feel from consumption. It's that feeling of, if I just put this Tommy teepee outside, someone's just going to take it.
It's excretion. It's not consumption. It's excretion.
Yeah.
It's bursting the boil. And sometimes, you know, I have been known to do it and then sit on the bench nearby.
And watch.
Wave it off.
Yeah.
Help yourselves, guys.
What's quite fun is what's going to go first.
Mm.
It shows how little knowledge I have of the British public.
Mm.
I can never call it.
And I think because of doing stand-up, I know audiences. I know what people are like.
Yeah, but you don't
always get it wrong
until you've put stuff on your wall.
What's the thing that has that's gone quickest? Where you thought I could have eBayed that for a few quid?
Yeah, that's always worrying. Do you know what always goes quickest? This is going to be incredibly unrelatable.
Yeah, go on.
But I suppose I can only live the life I'm living.
Yeah, exactly. Be your authentic self.
Is that we'll get my agent and often the production company, if I do a TV show like Last Leg, will send us a Christmas hamper.
Yeah, they don't pay you then. They just send you hampers. that's nice. Okay, fine. Bit weird, but all right.
And so we'll get the stuff out, but then you're like, this fucking hamper. And they go for like 20 quid on eBay, but you're like, am I really going to go through a saga of having a hamper, trying to sell it on eBay,
writing a description
of
a hamper,
description, taking photos,
not used, taking loads of photos,
and then taking it to the post office at Christmas.
Oh, mate.
And so you're like, what if I just put this on the street and they go like that?
Yeah. And then you feel great. That's worth 20
quid. And you feel that's worth 20 quid.
I'll pay 20 quid to feel to feel good and big.
Yeah.
And you just watch the, like...
And you're like, someone's really going to enjoy that hamper.
Yeah.
Because that is a good, useful thing.
But do you sit with it and watch it go, or do you just leave it out there and go?
Leave it out there and go.
Oh, I want the pleasure of watching it go.
No, I like the magic of it's gone.
I'd want to know who's got it so I can see them in weeks to come. How's the hamper? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to validate yourself by this thing. Here's a big part of your life. 2013, 3,862 days, the official history of Blur. The life of Blur.
I'd already Martin read Power. That by, that's by Stuart McConey. Okay. So I read that when it came out, which was in 1999 or 2000.
Yeah. You're a big Blur fan?
Yeah, huge.
Mm-hmm.
Those two books, I've bought them at the same time because I was doing Blur on Celebrity Mastermind.
Oh, nice. And how did you get on?
Because this is a sign of that single-minded thing we were talking about. I read both books. I underlined everything that I thought was a fact. And then I created fact sheets and learned every fact possible. So that...
That's more effort than an Edinburgh show.
Certainly one of mine. I got 11 out of 13 for Blur.
Yeah, very good.
And then I won on the general knowledge, which obviously...
So you won the whole mastermind thing?
Well, it was a celebrity mastermind.
Doesn't matter. Some celebrities are clever.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Fair enough.
People are competitive. We've had this before on this show. People have talked about mastermind and being... People are quite competitive about it.
Yeah.
Because to be in this business, I guess, you get very single-minded and competitive and...
Yeah.
You know.
Do you know the worst bit? It's almost not doing your bit because obviously you're there.
Mm.
You know how Football Manager will say it's easier being a player because you don't have to watch?
Yes.
Watching the other people go up and let's be honest, every right answer is a dagger to your heart.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. The lack of control as they're getting answers right.
They should mic you up for that. I'd want to hear.
Shit!
That would be just delicious. And but of course, you have to do the awards ceremony failure face.
You're in the dark, luckily, at that point, aren't you? Because they're spotlit.
But I think that'd be funnier just to hear the noise coming from the dark. Fucking hell! Sorry. That's Josh Whittacombe there. All right, look, 2014, you've bought a Flymo Turbo Light Electric Hover lawnmower.
Yeah, bought a house in East London. Don't live in it anymore.
Okay.
I'd say our lawn wasn't as big as this, definitely wasn't as big as this room.
Okay, well under an acre, listeners. Well,
it was a tiny lawn, and I'd say, I don't know why I bought such a big... But then, is there such a thing as a small mower?
You can get tiny mowers. Yeah, this is quite a small one, the little Flymo. But that must be quite sort of... dispiriting, because it's quite a sort of...
That lawn was the bane of my life.
Yeah.
Because it was great when we bought the house.
Yeah.
A lawn is so much effort.
It's another child. My dad spent more time with our lawns than he did with me, no doubt.
All you can see is the problems with it. It's like...
Yeah, molehills.
Yeah.
Patches.
Weeds.
Yeah.
It's just fucking horrible.
And
having a lawn.
I mean, this is such a small space. To mow it would take you 10, 5. Done it.
Yeah.
It's like buying a razor when you're about 12, 13. Yeah. You don't quite need it, yeah.
No, exactly.
But there's something quite, you know, are you a domestic kind of guy? These rituals, these things of being homely.
I like being at home.
Yeah.
I wouldn't leave the house if I had the option.
I always think of Bob Mortimer talking about this. Saying, I just want my pork pie on my TV.
That happened during COVID, though, for me.
Oh, yeah.
I had worked every evening for 12 years.
Yeah.
And then I've learned what it was like to have your evenings back.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Like, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
It's unbelievable. I mean, I haven't been regularly on the circuit for the best part of probably 7-8 years now. And every weekday evening, I still go, oh, I haven't got to do a gig tonight.
Yeah.
Every weekday evening. Tonight, I haven't got to do a gig, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It's weird, and yeah, I love it. And when I'm doing it, I love it.
And I'm working up a tour, and I enjoy the tour.
Yes.
But it's about finding that balance now.
Mm.
I won't be Ken Dodd.
Oh, my God.
I'm not...
He's dead and he's still gigging. That's how hard Ken Dodd gigs.
Oh, I bought so many embarrassing things. Pink CDs and a toddler dancing.
Oh, we're running out of time, Josh. We're running out of time. Let me just do a quick... I'm gonna do like a fast forward through your Amazon history.
Yeah. I reckon we can take it as read. I've talked about parenting enough in my life.
You should do a podcast on that. Ditto football. Shoot annual 1991.
Great.
Bought that in 2016.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just lovely nostalgia. 2017 now. Yeah, there's football. There's a lovely luxury fountain pen. That is around December, so possibly gifts.
That's a present. Yeah. That was... When was that, 2017?
2017, yeah.
I think that's for Joe Norris, the owner of Off the Curb Productions, who are my agents, but lovely. I can't remember.
To sign some contracts with.
Yeah. Sign my life away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. 17th of February 2017, the funky Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, that was for a 30th birthday party with Hawaiian theme.
Great, love that. Love that. Yeah. Thank you. Really nice, really nice. Still got it?
No, I can't tell you when it turned up how acrylic it was.
Oh, instant sweats.
Yeah, yeah, like a football shirt.
Yeah, like wearing a plastic bag. Yeah, that's the absolute worst. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you expect when you spend... £3. Oh, look, here we go. 2017, 13th of October 2017, your baby week by week. This is, of course, when you conceived the podcast that's made you millions. So that was when that started.
What date's that?
October 2017.
And so what date did it?
The 13th of October.
2 days before my daughter was born.
Wow.
Last minute book.
Wow. So were you sitting there while your wife was in labour? Just it says here on chapter 3.
Yeah. Said we'd be further on than this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, those books, you buy them, right? Because you are in a controlled panic about what's about to happen.
Yeah, because it's the first time in your life when you can't use that drive and work ethic I talked about, I suppose.
Yes, yes. You have to take it as it comes.
To surrender.
It's the first time in your life that you listen to your parents as well.
No.
Oh, really? Still to come. All right, so this is a big moment for you, right? Yeah. Tommy Tippy, we've got nappy disposable starter pack here.
I think the first 6 months of having a kid,
yeah,
being an Amazon Prime member, it was like a desperate call into the wild at 2:30 in the morning when the baby wouldn't sleep, and you found something. And you were like, "This could be here at 10 p.m. tomorrow."
Yeah.
So this doesn't happen tomorrow night. Yeah. It wouldn't work, but it's almost hope.
Totally. Some of the shit we bought. It's a U-shaped pillow. I've bought you two, just in case you soil one. Like, and you say, you buy it at 2 a.m. and it arrives next day, and you're like, I have no recollection of buying this. It's complete insanity. Elsewhere, we have got in 2018 now, right? We're powering through. 16-bottle pine wooden wine rack, fully assembled. Excellent.
Fully assembled.
Yeah.
Good decision.
The kids have arrived.
We bought one that was not assembled, and it was fucking impossible to assemble it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And... there's no rage quite like the rage of building something to look after booze.
Ooh, I don't want to hear no more crying. Just come on, let me know what you've been buying.
Okay, so look, Josh Widdicombe, 13th of April 2024, The Art of Memoir. Are you about to write a book?
No, but I'm really interested in creative people talking about how to do different creative things.
Hmm.
So I like reading. I read a book by Jeff Tweedy from Wilco about how to write a song. I've got no interest in writing songs.
Mm.
I find I really enjoy when people say, I read this book and it really helped me do something,
yeah.
even if they haven't done what I want to do,
yeah.
I think, oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you one of those people who someone will say the slightest thing like that and I've got my phone out straight away?
Yeah.
Give me the name of it. It's on a list.
Totally.
Probably never going to read it. And then I'll see it on my list like 2 years later.
But I think that's a real thing that I got from my generation. Before you had Spotify and before you had the internet to read about stuff,
mm.
I got all of my tastes, particularly music,
yeah.
through you'd read The Enemy and you'd read an interview with an artist and they'd mention a different artist.
Yeah, oh, nice.
And then you'd go, oh, yeah. they've mentioned The Smiths. Yeah. Who are The Smiths? I'll buy an album by The Smiths. I don't know anything yeah. about them. And then you'd get into that and then you'd read that and they'd go, I liked
it. Yeah, yeah. It's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah. And brilliant. So I'm still doing that
with
interviews. Like I listened to a John Ronson being interviewed by Adam Buxton the other day.
Yeah.
And he talked about three authors that influenced him.
Mm.
And I'm going to go and buy those books.
It's nice. I like that. And that curiosity as well. I think that our generation, when we grew up, all information and books and culture was harder to get hold of, so we had a thirst for it, so we pointed out, it was totally. Like, get me, and we're still accumulating in a world where there's now too much, whereas newer generations, I would moot, are quite like, oh, it's just, oh, it's just, you know.
Well, you know, I'm like, there. Oh, right, people are going on about that Beyonce album.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. How much you listen to? 8 seconds.
Yeah, you know, it's just like... I mean,
yeah, it's unbelievable. Whereas if you've gone, oh, right, they're going on about that Beyonce album, I'll get the bus up to Exeter,
yeah,
and I'll buy it, and I'll wait till I get home because I can't listen.
Yeah, it's on CD. I've read it all.
I'll read the inlay cover. I'll sit down. I'll make myself like it.
I need to give this. I fucking spent a tenner on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This needs to work out for me. It's like a...
Exactly.
You know, like when a team signs a player for a lot of money.
Yes, yes.
And they're like, we've got to fucking make this work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas now it's just like free transfers.
No, absolutely.
I didn't work.
It's Andy Carroll's system.
We've got it.
Andy Carroll will just stay. Keep the faith, guys. Keep the faith.
Exactly.
He's going to get good. So what Josh and I are saying is if you could pay £10 per episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster,
exactly.
you'll like it more.
Exactly.
So Nish Kumar was on the show a couple of weeks ago and was absolutely brilliant because he doesn't have an Amazon account.
Yeah.
So we did his Waterstones account instead.
Doesn't.
It was very funny.
Of course he fucking doesn't.
Tell us about your show with Nish. It's brilliant.
Hold the Front Page, which is... I always get the feeling, right? If you're still listening now, you like me. So hopefully you'll definitely really enjoy this because it's good. It's me and Nish and it's on Sky Max and Now TV.
Yeah.
And we go and work at a different local paper every week and attempt to get the front page and we're shit at it.
Did you go to South... You did the South Wales Argus, didn't you?
Yeah.
All you need for a front page is tragedy. They love a tragedy on the front page of the South Wales Argus.
Yeah, but it is a comedy entertainment show.
Well, you know, small enough, it's fine, it's fine. Look, we're going to finish on this. The last thing, Josh, that you've bought it's a helicopter. It's a kids' rescue helicopter. Crucially, it says the word toy. Otherwise, it sounds like you've got a helicopter to go and rescue kids. £20 on a lovely toy. Interactive features, including a moving rotor, sort of basic, really. Winch, flashing lights, sound, stretcher, and opening doors.
Fucking winch. So the winch is a piece of string with a hook attached.
Yeah.
And you press a button and it goes up and down.
Excellent.
Yeah? The piece of string, piece of cotton, into an interior bit, and then you attach a bed to it.
Yeah.
And the hook came off it, so it was just a piece of hanging cotton. And I was like, that's fine, I'll just reattach the hook.
Mm.
And for some reason, I pressed the button.
Oh, it's gone into the drum.
And it
drum.
Just winched the whole cotton into the helicopter.
So you've lost the end of the cotton thread?
I've got no cotton thread anymore.
Oh,
it's just within
mate.
The interior of the helicopter.
That's gone. Is that why you've bought a second one?
I haven't bought a second
There's
one. There's
two
different helicopters.
Oh, you've bought two different helicopters.
I tell you why. And we have to do this on Parenting Hell.
Mm.
Trigger warning. I'm about to discuss the dummy fairy.
Oh,
so if you're listening with children...
Any kids listening, I don't think kids will still be here by now, Josh.
No.
Yeah.
No. But, yeah, my son was giving up his dummy. We've done this thing, which I'm sure a lot of parents have done, which we're told to do, which is basically bribery. The dummy fairy will buy you what the fuck you want if you give up your dummy. It's basically that.
It will buy you an introduction to stand-up comedy with Logan Murray, of course.
Two helicopters, deal.
And has the dummy gone?
That's
a genius idea. It's just out-and-out bribery.
Yeah, if you can get through the night without your dummy, the dummy fairy will deliver these helicopters.
You're in trouble when the kid comes back and says, well, the winch doesn't work anymore, can I have the dummy back now? That's when you have to explain, sorry, we don't do returns.
Yeah.
There's no returns. Listen, Josh, thank you so much for doing
it. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been really good fun. And we've gone from Jonathan Creek living in a windmill to a kid being bribed with helicopters.
All about rotary.
It's all about rotary. Good, things that are going round.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God, I like it when there's a pattern.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just feels like we've bracketed off.
Circular in so many ways.
Oh, I love it. Thank God for that. It just feels so much neater. Josh, thank you so much for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster. What have you learned about yourself? Final question.
I found the really early ones interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe that I was more interesting before I settled down and had kids as a human being.
Great, good. So we can send you on your way with sort of existential doubt. And
Yeah,
that's ideal. Some more neuroses for you. Josh, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Did you enjoy that? I did. I love Josh Whittaker. You can see the video of that. YouTube.com/@mymatebottatoaster. Going hard on the YouTubes at the moment, guys. Thank you to everyone who has subscribed. YouTube.com/@mymatebottatoaster. Just click on subscribe and you can get all our latest videos. We're putting loads of videos up there at the moment. The full Josh Whittaker episode will be up very, very soon indeed. There's extras from Josh as well at Patreon. Let's go for Patreon this week. Patreon.com/toasterpod. For as little as £3 a month, you can get loads of stuff there. And also next week, Joe Tracini, the brilliant Joe Tracini. If you don't know who that is, he's a very funny comedy actor. He is someone who has very bravely and openly and candidly talked about his mental health problems. He suffers from borderline personality disorder. We will be talking to him next week. It's a fascinating, moving, funny episode. And there's so much that happens, not least of all this.
And that's how I started being sexually active.
So that's Joe Tracini. He is going to be joining me next week. And that episode, as with all the others, is available early and ad-free at Patreon. I like Patreon. I think that works. Patreon.com/toasterpod. All right, lovely people. Thanks for listening. Take care. It's my mate.